Good afternoon. It's good to be with you all this afternoon as we come together as a church. Let us look to God in prayer before we look into His Word. Father, we want to thank you for being with us throughout the week. We thank you that we can gather together despite the circumstances we are in, that even though we are in our homes, we can still be together to listen to your words. Father, we pray that you will teach us and guide us this afternoon, and that God, you will speak to our hearts and translate the things that we learn into our lives. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the world that we live in has certainly made a lot of significant progress. You know, life today is so different from what life was like maybe about 100 years ago. Yet the world is also fast becoming a very dangerous and a very difficult place to live in. Just take technology as an example. You know, today with technology, we are even able to gather together as a church for a church service, even though we all have to stay home. You know, the world of television, films, YouTube, bring us to places and times which otherwise we can only imagine. For instance, the film Jesus, which has some controversies around it, nonetheless, it brings us into the culture and time and the setting of Christ. As a family, after we watched the film again on Good Friday, it brought me back to the Gospel of Luke. And I just find myself thanking God again for sending Jesus to die for our sins. I'll take another example. You know, today on YouTube, there are these two guys who call themselves the slow-mo guys. They try to capture everything in really slow motion. And so that today, through their YouTube videos, we can see and understand how things work frame by frame. It's amazing what technology can do. And of course today, with virtual reality, VR, as well as immersive and interactive media, we tend to tap every screen and every wall that has an image on it. Technology has opened up new possibilities and new opportunities for our learning and for hands-on experiences. Yet, with television, films, and YouTubes, we are also subjected to a lot more sex and violence today. With everyone posting their different comments, they also shape our views of things and has given us courage to share our comments and share our likes, sometimes without thinking much of the consequences. And with all the tech devices and easy access of different things on the internet, we see the rise of internet scams, the rise of cyberbullying, easy pornography, as well as gaming addiction. And we are just looking at the technological aspect of this world. We haven't yet explored the decay we see in morality and ethics. We have yet to explore the social challenges, pressures, and intolerance towards Christians because of the stand that we take and the practices that we have arising from our faith. So in the midst of all this, how should we as Christians respond to the world that we live in? Today, our session is entitled Jesus, the Word and the World, taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 18 to 25. Our focus today is to answer the question, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus in this world? My prayer is today's session will help us think about the world that we live in, and our faith. This is not essentially a how-to session, but one that teaches us on how we should think through our relationship with the world. Before we look at the text, it is important that we establish a common way of understanding what I mean when I use the word world, because the word world means different things to different people. and it carries a different meaning when it is used in a different context. So for example, the Bible tells us in John 3:16 that God loved the world. In fact, God loved the world so much that he gave his son Jesus to die for our sins. Yet the same apostle John, who wrote John 3:16, also wrote 1 John 2:15-16. And in there we are told that we should not love the world, neither the things in the world. That if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. It is very clear that the use of the word world means different things in these two instances. Today, the way I use the word world will be more the latter in 1 John 2:15-16 rather than the former in John 3:16. But let me state what I mean when I use the word world. In today's context, when I use the word world, what I'm referring to is the natural and instinctive views and values of people and society around us. They do not normally or necessarily have God as the reference point. So with this, let's look at today's text in John chapter 15, verses 18 to 25. Let's take a look at how this passage begins and how this passage ends. It begins with verse 18, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." How does it end? It ends in verse 25, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause." In fact, this phrase, "they hated me without a cause," is actually a fulfillment of scripture in Psalms 35 verse 19 and Psalm 69 verse 4, when David described his enemies as people who hated him without a cause. From these verses, we learn that Jesus and the world are on opposing sides. In fact, it tells us something more, that the opposition is because the world chooses to reject Jesus in the first place. You see, Jesus' words are authoritative. They are divine because they come from God the Father, and they are defining because it shapes all our views and all our values in life. So with Jesus' words being authoritative, it is only reasonable and logical to submit to Jesus' teaching. And so to reject Jesus' rule is unreasonable. But people still choose to have their own values and own views of things. That they just refuse to accept the rule of Christ, even though it is reasonable and sensible to do so. It is just like David's enemies. King David's enemies who just refuse to accept the legit rule of a king. This tells us that Jesus and the world are on opposing sides. And it is the world that opposes Jesus' teachings in the first place. You see, my friends, there are different ways by which we can understand opposites. First, opposites can attract. You know, if you've been playing with magnets, you realize that North Pole and South Pole, the two poles are opposite. But the opposite poles attract. Or for science students, you realize that there are positive charges and negative charges. And because these charges are opposite, they attract. But opposites can also complement. We think of people in a team who are faster. They complement people who are slower. Similarly, people who can look at details complement people who look at things from a big picture. But today, we are not looking at opposites that attract or opposites that complement. We are looking at opposites that oppose. What is an example of an opposite that opposes? Well, I think of light and darkness. Light and darkness are two opposites, but they oppose one another. When is it completely dark? Very easy, when there is no light. And so we use metaphors like darkness swallows up the light. Or we use a metaphor like light pierces through the darkness. So when we talk about Jesus and the world being on opposing sides, we are looking at opposites that oppose. You see, Jesus has a set of values and a set of views about life, and rightly so, because he's the author of life. But people and society in general has its own set of views and its own set of values. It's like a game of soccer or a game of basketball. When you play the game of soccer and you play a game of basketball, you are involved in passing, you are involved in dribbling, you are involved in shooting. But the thing is, you have to choose which side you play. Because that will determine who you will play with and who you will play against. Well, you can switch sides along the way, but the reality is you can't play for both sides. Well, there are players who have taken bribes and they help the opponent team. But by doing that, they have immediately sold out their own team. So how do Christians live in the world today? Know that Jesus and the world are on opposing sides, but we have to choose which side we want to be on. And we have to choose which side we want to stay on. What this means is we have to decide whether we want to follow what Jesus says. Or we can decide to follow what other people say. Jesus then tells us what happens if we decide to follow what Jesus says. And that is found in verses 18 to 20. Let me read verse 18 to 20 of John chapter 15. If the world hates you, ye know that he hated me before he hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Because the world opposes Jesus, of course they will oppose all who are on the same side as Jesus. Because the servant is not greater than the master. What they do to Jesus, they will do to us as his followers. Going back to the example of the game that you play, that when you choose to play against a team, you play against every player on the opponent team. Similarly, every player on the opponent team will go all the way out to maybe take you out of the game because you're not part of their team. The only reason why they will not oppose you is when you decide to join them and be on the same team and on the same quest as them. In fact, when that happens, they will even look out for you. So the text tells us that because we follow Jesus, if they hate Jesus, they will hate us. If they persecute Jesus, they will persecute us. But if we are of the world would love his own. Which leads us to the second truth, that Jesus and his followers will necessarily face a world that's hostile. That if we live in a world for Jesus, we must expect to face a world that's hostile. The world opposes all who follow Jesus. because they oppose Jesus' teachings in the first place. The world will only receive all who follow their views and their values. You see, the world as an opposing force will either take us out or draw us in to join them. So this has implications for us if we choose to follow Jesus. People around us may think that we are weird. We may be disconnected from them. And in some situations, they may even ridicule us for what we stand for in our lives. Maybe in a way, we are showing what they are not standing for in their lives. Well, some of our friends may respect us, but many may decide to henceforth leave us out. Well, the Bible tells us that this is an inevitable reality that we have to face. See, when I was growing up, I was with a group of friends, and because I was from a mission school, we have been friends for many years. But at some point, my friends decided to do some things that I was disagreeable with. So at some point, I decided that I would not join them as often. And in some instances, they've decided to leave me out. You see, my friends, we must be prepared that there will come a point when, because we follow Jesus, it may become a rupture point. But as mentioned earlier, as an opposing force, the world can take us out, marginalize us, or the world can subtly draw us in to be with them. Let me just take an example of the endeavors and pursuits and interests that we have. There may come a time when the things that we have to do and the things that we like to do are causing us to drift away from the Lord Jesus. Maybe we are beginning to compromise our Christian faith. Maybe we are beginning to change to become a different person. Or maybe we are preoccupying ourselves with so many things in the world that we are drawn away from spending time with our Lord Jesus in His Word and in His service. When these things happen, we want to press the pause button and evaluate, which side are we really on? Who and what are we really living for? Has the world subtly drawn us to be on their side? Now Jesus goes on to tell why and what happens when the world rejects Jesus. And that is found in verses 21 to 24. Let me read. "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak or excuse for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hateth both me and my Father." The world rejects Jesus because they don't want to acknowledge and accept God and His absolute rule. It tells us that they know not Him in verse 21, and they hateth both me and my Father. The people say, why must we have to do things God's way? Why can't we do things our way and based on what we think is best? There are surely many ways we can go about living life. Well, but you see, my friends, when Jesus came and spoke the things that He did and did the things that He did, today we are without excuse for rejecting Him. because he has shown us very clearly in his teaching that he is the author and the authority of life. He also came to die for our sins so that we can be forgiven, and that he was raised again so that we can have new life. Yet despite knowing who Jesus is, hearing what Jesus has taught, and seeing what Jesus has done, and how Jesus lovingly invites us to come under his rule, people still choose to reject the good and powerful King. Not only will people lose their way to God and to new life and abundant life, they will also be judged for their unbelief and rejection. The world will definitely have to face God, who will hold them responsible. The world doesn't know God because they choose to reject God in the first place. They can't plead innocence as they have seen Jesus' work and heard Jesus' words. This truth serves as a great encouragement and a warning to us at the same time. It is a great encouragement for all of us to continue to follow Jesus and his teachings. Why do I say that? Because even though we may face hostility, we may face ridicule, maybe in some instances persecutions and rejections from people and society around us, yet we can commit all the wrong and injustice to the Lord, because the Lord will definitely hold them responsible. We can be frustrated. We can be sad. We can be hurt. But we don't have to avenge the wrong. We don't have to give up following Jesus, because God sees, God knows, God delivers, and God will hold individuals responsible. But this also serves as a warning to us. You see, the world has its appeals and its pressures, and the danger is we can be drawn into it. We can be lost in it. If we are drawn into the world and we are lost in the world, it will not be without consequences. You see, my friends, we have all have learned that Jesus' teachings, we have all have seen Jesus' work on the cross and from the grave, his death and his resurrection. And we all have learned that Jesus is the Son of God, the good and powerful King. If we choose to turn away, we cannot plead ignorance. We cannot plead innocence. Our turning away will be a willful act of saying that despite the fact that you are a good and powerful King, I don't need you to rule over us. So as much as this is an encouragement for all of us who follow Jesus and his words, it is also a warning if you are drawn away into the world. Let me just very quickly summarize my teaching this afternoon. We are looking at John 15, 18 to 25, Jesus, the Word and the World, and we essentially want to answer one very simple question. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus in this world? Well, what it means to be a follower of Jesus in this world is to know that Jesus and the world are on opposing sides. It means that we have to decide which side we want to be on and which side we want to stay on. And if we decide to be on Jesus' side, do expect a hostile world. We will face hostility from people and society around us. So don't be surprised. Don't be alarmed. But the world may not just be hostile towards us. The world may also decide to draw us in to its appeals, into its pleasures. So we must be careful. As much as we are not alarmed by its hostility, we must be careful about its appeal, because it is on the opposing side as our Lord Jesus. But yet we can be encouraged. We can be encouraged because the world will definitely have to face God, who will hold them responsible. We don't have to avenge the wrong. The Lord sees, the Lord knows, the Lord judges. But it also serves as a warning for us that we should not be drawn into the world and its appeals and its pleasures. Because if we are drawn into the world, it will not be without consequences. Because the Lord holds all responsible, all who reject his authority. But I thought that it would be good for us to have a question for us to think about. And the question is this: how do I stay committed to Jesus despite influences from my peers and from my environment? And this is a very real question we have to answer for ourselves. Let us pray together. Father, we want to thank you that we can come together to listen to your words, that your word that instructs us. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus in this world today? We know that Jesus and the world are on opposing sides, which means that we have to choose which side to be on. And Father, as we choose to be on your side, as we choose to listen to your words, as we choose to follow Jesus, help us to be prepared and to expect hostility. Hostility from people and society around us. That we also should be careful, because the world as an opposing force may also draw us into its team. But I pray that, Father, we will persevere and press on to listen to the words of Jesus and be assured and encouraged that despite the hostility and the frustrations, you know, you see, and you judge. But as we learn about how the world will be held responsible, help us to be very mindful that we are also not drawn into the world and its pleasures. Because when we do that, we are willfully turning away from the Jesus whom we have been brought up to understand and to embrace. So Father, today I pray that your word will speak to our hearts, and as we consider and do an evaluation how we can stay committed to our Lord Jesus, despite the influences from our peers and from our environment, help us to work through these issues. And Father, we pray that you give us the grace to be always following Jesus. For all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.